You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I've been let out of a cage this morning. 290 days, I was not allowed to travel more than 5 kilometres from my home. And I was allowed to go out once a day for 1 hour, walk. And so I feel like I've come out of prison today. And Chelsea are on top of the league. What a great time to be in England. I just lost half the crowd. Well, if I brought up the other game, I lost half the crowd anyway, so I thought I'd bring up something more positive. Great to be with you. Take a seat. Great to be here in Manchester with you, and honestly feel like it's home. Pastor Glenn and Soph are my great friends, but actually, honestly, my wife and I, seeing Jaden and Georgia this morning, it's literally our family. You know, I have a family, but I actually prefer to be with these guys than I do my family. If this is live online and my brother and sister are watching, sorry, it's the truth. But that's serious. We love coming here. We love coming at this time of year. And we love being a part of the church here. And I today want to really dial straight in to where you are as a church. And understanding, you know, you're talking about the vision at the moment, and the vision, you know, without action, without deed is actually dead, and the vision at Audacious is well and truly alive because of you people. And own it is what you've been talking about, and so my message today is going to dial right in there. And understanding who Jesus was, you know, we need to recognise. Today, I really want to, the topic, if you're taking notes, I want to talk to you about. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you, you know. I know all around the world people aren't back in churches because of fears or routines or whatever else. Get back in church. We've got to remember that this is what it's all about. If we want to win cities, we've got to have a rallying point where we come together and we go out from this rallying point and do all that we were purposed to do. So, you know, trust me, when you've been locked down for 290 days, you want to get out of the house. We opened for the first time in church last week and we had over 75% of the people came out, like, and that was the first time. And when you're starved of something for a very, very, very long time, who cares what might happen? Get to church, you know. And I want to encourage you, get to church. Don't forgo the opportunity to assemble together. And so today my topic is winning cities. We are called to win cities. We are called to do what Jesus has called us to do and really go beyond ourselves, you know. Faith without works is dead. If we're not exercising faith, we're dead. You know, we're actually not living according to the pattern that we were purposed to. And it was interesting because if you look at Jesus in the time of the scripture that I'm going to read this morning in the book of Matthew, you know, this scripture is a powerful scripture that many of us know and have heard before. But the context of the scripture was there was contention in the atmosphere, and Jesus seemed to be so comfortable in his ministry phase to be in the church, but just as comfortable outside of the church. In fact, if you look, he actually was less in the church than he was in the marketplace. And so we need to understand that we come to church, there's a necessity for church, there's a necessity for buildings, there's a necessity for the assembling point, but this is just a rallying point where we can come together and say, look at what the Lord has done in my life, look at what God has done to assemble us so that we're full of faith that we can go and do what we're purposed to do. But Jesus was content with it, so should we be. One of the things that I've learned and been really studying over the last 2 years is that only 2% of you will ever work for a church or a faith-based organisation. So that means 98% of you have an assignment that's not based around the four walls of this building. And I want to tell you, it's your ministry, it's what he's purposed you to do, and we therefore need to have people that understand that you don't just go to a job, but you actually go into the marketplace to lift up the name that is above all names, to be those that would actually go on his behalf. So today, I want to stir you. Come on, let's do this together. Let's believe that we cannot just win Manchester, that we cannot just win England, but we can change the face of nations all over the earth as we get a revelation that He wants to use us for His purposes. Amen. Let's have a look right here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You know, this is a classic parable, a story of the parable on the mountain. Here we are in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You are the light of the world. Notice something. Doesn't say Jesus is the light of the world. It says you are the light of the world. We actually are called to reflect who Jesus is. And so, yes, He is the light, but actually He's chosen you and us to reflect His light on the earth. So stop looking for somebody else. Stop looking for a minister to reflect His light. You are the light of the world. You need to understand that He's put you on this earth to shine and to radiate who He is. Like a city on a hilltop. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. I love the word picture you get when you read this scripture. You see some of those old medieval cities that were built on a hill. We went to the Masada. Pastor Glenn was just telling me 7 years ago that was to pretty much now. We went to the Masada and it was built by King Herod on the top of a hill, and they could see for miles around any enemy that was coming. But you imagine at night when that place is lit up, from wherever you look, you'll be able to see that fortified city. You are like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Are we? Are we the Church of Jesus Christ that cannot be hidden? Or in reality, are we a little bit a light? Because I want to tell you, we're not building a cathedral so that it can just be a building that people can drive by. We're building it so that it will inspire us to truly be a city on a hill, that we would be those people that would shine. No one lights a lamp and then puts a basket under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Oh, I tell you, the object of our lives, the purpose of our life is that we would bring praise to His name. Not that we would bring praise to our name, not that we would just get a good job, not that we would just be good people on the earth, but we would bring praise to His name. So when Pastor Glenn was talking about praise, it's beyond ourselves. It's not how we feel. It's not whether we like the song or we don't like it. It's lifting up the name of Jesus, because that's our primary purpose. And I want to tell you, if you're in the center of your primary purpose, you're going to feel fulfilled. You're going to feel a sense of why you're here, rather than constantly wondering, why am I here? But if we're going to own it, then we need to pursue fresh revelation. We can come out of a season like we've all just come out of on the earth, and if we're not careful, we can actually fall back into a routine that was familiar to us 2 years ago. What was the point of going through a difficult time if we just go back to the same thing? Because if we go back to the same thing, we're going to get the same outcome. But God has so much more for us that He wants us to step into. So we need to get fresh revelation. The fresh revelation you need to get is it's been spoken to you for over a month now. Own it. Which actually means you are the light. Not somebody else, not the person sitting next to you, not the ministry team on the stage. You are the light. You've got to own that fact that you have a responsibility to shine your light where I'm never going to shine it. And it's time for us as the church to rise to that. When this parable was being spoken of course, the church was being persecuted. People were being hung upside down on crosses. People were being kept alive, but literally only just. And they were, in town squares, as a symbol of taking down the church, taking down Christianity. So when this message has been spoken, it's spoken to people who are in a persecuted state. I have never seen in my lifetime, I'm now 51 years of age, and isn't it sad, I haven't been here for 2 years and it just feels like I lost 2 years of my life. But the reality is that we need to understand that the church hasn't ever been as persecuted as it is today in my lifetime. I've never seen the contention for the church, going at the values of who we are as church. Let's be careful, church, that we don't get caught up on the commentary of the day. We've got to remember that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And His values are still the same today, even before time. And so we've got to make sure that we don't create a whole new set of rules and regulation based on what people say and trends.
We got to step into all God has for us, and He's the God who created us to be the light. You are the light. And in this contentious atmosphere, there's never been a time where we should rise up with that revelation burning in our heart. Today, I've got a little light here. You know, I got this light, and you know, the team's gone out to a camping shop and bought this for me. I appreciate it so much. Who's been camping recently? I'm going to be honest with you. If there's something I can't stand in life, it's camping. I couldn't imagine camping in England, by the way. Couldn't imagine camping in Manchester. I arrived on Thursday. Magnificent day. One of the most beautiful days I've ever seen. Wake up the next morning. The most miserable morning I've ever seen. Just got to love how predictable it is that it's unpredictable in this city. But no different in Melbourne, by the way, so I'm not having a go at you. But this is a lamp, and I don't know if you can remember, but as a kid we used to have these lamps, and they had a certain gas that would kill you if you tipped the lamp over. And for a kid, that made it even more exciting. This is quite boring because it's sanitised, nothing can really happen. But for a kid, oh man, I could blow myself up, I've got to play with that, you know. And but now we've got these lamps, and so we went, and for the sake of the illustration, thank you for whoever paid for it. They've got the most outstanding lamp we can get. Maybe we'll auction it off later, raise some money against that $250,000, so we get $500,000, and that would be good. But anyway, I'm not here to do an auction today. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, anybody for 10? And I've got this this lamp. But the truth is, the natural inclination when you turn a lamp on is not to actually put it down and find a bucket and just stick it straight over the top. Fantastic, the light's on, that's awesome. But you know, if we don't get the right revelation, we forget that we come into church and we illuminate. Oh, I'm praising, I'm doing this dancing, and I'm doing like, if anybody can remember their Ancient Fossils in church, but that song sounds like a Striper song to me, to be honest. Glenn and Sophie, the only people who can remember Sophie as a Striper. But anyway, it's like a metal song. I was like, and you know, that sort of dancing, it's sort of between Scottish dancing and just going nuts, you know. But anyway, the natural inclination is to not turn the light on and then stick a bucket on it. But if we're not careful, we can actually get our light burning in here. Yes, God, we love you, God. We're going to do something for you. We walk out the door. Christianity's not the in thing at the moment. In fact, you know, we're actually the least, you know, in society right now, a Christian. You know, it's like the least, even of religions, it's the least. Even though it's still the number one religion on the earth and all the rest of it, there's something in our psyche that says we've got to be quiet. No, this is our season to light up. This is our season to let Him know. You know, right now there's all sorts of voices. Have you noticed? We got experts all over the world right now. When we started the pandemic 2 years ago, they were telling us all sorts of things. Then they were telling all sorts of different things. And what I've realized, and I'm not saying this to run anybody down, but the reality is that nobody really has a clue what's going on, except the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We represent Him. We're actually His light on the earth, so we should be shining as bright as we possibly can in the vacuum of nobody having knowledge of what's going on right now. So we get this light, and if you haven't noticed, when you design a house, unless it's a certain type of mood lighting now, the reality is they don't put the light in the middle of the lounge room floor. They don't design it, so it's right there. So you're looking at the telly and this light's coming up and you've, you know, got like a spooky kind of look as you're watching the TV. They always put it in the roof because they've learned the most height gives the most light. So we as the church have got to work out, how do we get our light higher? How do we increase our influence? How do we increase our impact? How do we make sure that our light isn't just down here or it's hidden in the corner or it's under a bucket? We got to position our light so that it has maximum influence. You are the light. You are God's purpose. You are what He's called you to be. And in an environment of contention, oh, we need some lights to bright. We need some lights to shine. Sorry, we need some lights to be increased in this season. So you can shine your light, and there's two ways that you can do it. You can be overt. I remember just a mile down the road from here, probably not even a mile, a little street called Mary Street. And we as a church were definitely in the back blocks then. You know, we were in a building. I remember if you were busting to go to the toilet at the end of the service, you had to wait for 400 other people because there's only one toilet in the whole building. And it was like a sauna in that building. I don't know if you remember. And I came and I'm pretty sure I preached 722 times to 8 people each time, but gee, we were changing the world. But at that time, that was our point of revelation and it was incredible. Then we came here and it was like, wow, look at what the Lord has done. Now we're talking about building a cathedral and what God is about to do. And it won't be long before we're like looking back at this facility and saying, wow, how terrible was it? Or we can just settle for this. You say, well, this is what we've got and this is how it is and this is how we live. But the reality through it all, we've been overt. Every time we get together, we present the gospel because we understand that our primary mandate of the church is not to look after the membership, but it's actually to look after those who don't yet know that they need to be a part of what we're doing. So we've got to be overt in every setting. We've got to speak the gospel. We've got to speak it out. We've got to help people to understand that Jesus loves them. Today, you'll get an opportunity, if you're with us, you're online today, to come into a relationship with Jesus. It's the center of what we do. But it's not the only way that we need to position ourselves. If we're going to have a fresh revelation, we've got to go beyond just the overt in presenting the gospel. But the gospel nevertheless needs to be presented. How are you positioned today in the presentation of the gospel? How are you positioned? Where is your light? Because if we're not careful, we can become anesthetized ourselves to talking to anybody overtly about the gospel. But yet people are desperate to hear the gospel. We just haven't got our spiritual ears and eyes open, ready to give what they need in this season. People have sat around for long periods of time contemplating their life. No better time to remind them that they are on earth with a purpose in mind. We need to be overt in this season and speak into people's lives. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that me? Oh no. I thought I could hear a radio. I can. It is me. Sorry, I got music on. Well, it's good for atmosphere up here on the stage by myself. Thinking, wow. Sounded a bit like Striper as well. Whew. Maybe Siri put it on for me. But anyway. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, we've got to understand and get a fresh revelation of God if we're going to own it, but we also need to reposition our thinking because some of us are so caught in the way that we think that we actually don't step into all that God has for us. So my next point is we need to learn what it is to think like a king. I'm glad you raised that point because I wrote a book during the lockdown. And in fact, the truth is I've had this book in me for many years and I'm not really here to sell a book. But what I learnt, and I learnt it from a great series that I watched. In fact, the number one Netflix series in the lockdown worldwide was The Crown. It was about your queen here in England. It was, you know, that was the number one selling series around the world. Now there's another one that's just come in the last few weeks and there couldn't be more polar opposite, I just want you to know, but I won't mention it by name in case somebody gets offended. But wow, what a show that is. And anyway, But while I was watching that show, I realized that something about thinking like a king or understanding royalty, remember, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are his sons and daughters. We are the light of the world. He is the light of the world. We're just reflecting who he is. So we've got to recognize that we are royalty. And royalty, when they're born, don't think to themselves, what am I going to do with my life? They don't think to themselves, how will I acquire wealth? They don't think to themselves, how will I actually have a realm? What will I do? They actually are born into an environment of security that says, one day this will all be mine. So if we're kings and queens of the King of Kings, we need to understand that each one of us is therefore royalty. Each one of us should have a thinking that says, I don't have to fight for it. At the appropriate time, it's going to be gifted to me. So all I have to do is get ready, get ready, get ready. So when I'm at the right time, it's gifted to me and I can contain what God has purposed me to do. So I wrote a book about that, particularly in the area of the marketplace, people understanding who they are. And in this book, 85,000 words. I can't believe that I wrote 85,000 words. But I also did something else, because I'll give you a secret. I don't really read many books. I listen to lots of books, so it's available that way as well. But I went to a coffee shop, which was one of the few things we could do, and I grabbed a coffee, wasn't allowed to have it inside, grabbed it and go for my hour walk. But as I went there, I scanned a QR code. Do you all realise 2 years ago we didn't have QR codes? We did, but you had to download a QR code reader, so none of us used them really. Now everything's QR codes. It just comes up all the time. So I thought, how can we get an encounter experience in a book? Started talking to the team, QR codes. Everybody uses them now. So what we've done at the end of every chapter, Pastor Glenn's there and there's preachers and business people from all over the world. At the end of every chapter, you scan a QR code and up comes a video of somebody talking to you on a summary of the chapter that's just taken place. Then many of them, they pray for you that you'll have a revelation about what you've just read. So you don't just read it, but you begin to apply what has happened. And if you're not very much of a reader, in 1 hour and 3 minutes, you can just scan all the QR codes and you go, I read the book, it's awesome. Yeah, fantastic. And I don't know about you, that's a book that I'm going to buy every time. But, you know, thinking like a king is actually changing the way we think. Because many of us are pursuing, many of us are living in a commercial-oriented world where it's pull down somebody else so that we can get something ourselves. But actually, we're not competitors in this room. We're actually on the same team. So when we have a rallying point like an offering where it's time for us to say we're all going to do something together, not only are we incentivized by one person, it's going to match every person who gives up to £250,000. That means we're going to get £500,000 easily. But as we do that and we give our money, it doesn't matter whether we give a lot or a little, because we're all on the same team. We're not pitted against each other. We understand who we are. All we got to do is get a revelation. I'm a son and a daughter of the living God. And when that illumination comes to us, we can step into all he has for us. So now we don't have to have bloodshed. We don't have to take somebody else out. One of the things I've hated about this season is the church has been against the church. Don't allow the enemy to win in that battle. We are not against each other. We are for each other. We stand together. And there are things that could separate us, but we won't allow them to, because we're going to pursue what God has for each one of us. Start thinking like it's all mine. God, I'm either a king in waiting or I'm a king that is ruling, but either way, I'm just getting ready for what God has for me. This is our season. This is our time to rise up. My life is about getting prepared for my moment and my purpose. Esther had her moment. Balaam had his moment. Gideon had his moment. But there was a lot of time before he stepped into it. Stop getting frustrated with the process, because his timing is perfect. I've got frustrated as a trustee about, we've been talking about the cathedral for 150 years. You know, we're all going to be dead by the time we build it. But what I realize is this is God's timing. So if this is God's timing and we've had this sort of pause in culture for the last 2 years, what's he getting us ready for? Get ready, get ready, get ready, because something's about to happen. God's about to do something. It's not coincidence that right now we need to pull the trigger, raise the final finance, move into what God has always purposed for us so we can be part of winning the city of Manchester. It's always been our mandate. It always will be our mandate. We just got to step into it at this time. Matthew 5 verse 15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. They lift it up. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way you let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you notice it says, see your good deeds? Doesn't say, see your evangelism. So there's another way. We can be overt. Yes, we need to present the gospel. We need to look for opportunity to share with people. But we can also be covert. I spend my life on planes. Well, not in the last 2 years, but even this time. And the first thing that often happens on a plane is you sit next to somebody and they ask, how are you? What are you? And then they say, what do you do? Very rarely on a plane do I say, oh, I'm a pastor. Because if I say that, that's the end of the conversation for most people, I can tell you. Oh, really? Oh, fantastic. The book comes out. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll talk to you later. Yeah. But if I say I'm the CEO, the director of an international charity, which I am, and I start there, it's amazing how I segue from there into becoming a pastor, and they think being a pastor must be the coolest thing on the planet. So it's not that we lie, but it's actually that we position so that people can actually be ready to receive the good news that we have. And sometimes we've got to learn what it is as the church, particularly the Pentecostal church, to be covert as well as overt. And understand when the time is to be covert. But it's not just covert with our words. You know, as Francis of Assisi said, if we preach the gospel and we have to use words, so be it. We should actually be people that understand that by our actions, we'll position ourselves to lift up the name of Jesus. So I believe like never before, it's a time for the Church of Jesus Christ to do what it says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, study yourself approved, meaning make every effort to present yourself approved to God, but your diligence of understanding and representing His word. In other words, we need the people to become the best in their field, in every field. We need faith-filled people to talk to us. We need people in this season, health practitioners, that talk to us and they come from a faith paradigm, a revelation of who God is. But I want to tell you, those voices have been pretty quiet. Why? Because we haven't seen a diligence to rise in every area so that we can be overt. You know, I hear athletes talking, and if you're an athlete here today, I'm not against you, but because they're athletes and they're famous, well, let's use something like the Kardashians. I mean, the reality is they talk on every topic on the planet. Why? They don't have a clue about anything. But yet they're like the experts on marriage and family. They've had about 19 families and 7 marriages. But they're the experts. Why? Because there's a void of people who are like you and I that rise up. And at the right moment, people say, I want to hear what you've got to say. And to that point, you may have never revealed who you are in Christ, but right at that moment, you get the opportunity to speak out. And oh, how powerful it is. Why? Because we've decided that we're going to be those people. If we're going to be the light of the world, it's going to be present the gospel like this. And it's going to be present the gospel by not just lifting up the lamp ourselves and walking around and telling everybody the light that we've got, but actually diligently applying ourselves so that we become the best in our field. We get a promotion, we get a raise, and suddenly our light is right at the top of our field and people want to know what it is that we have. It's great to hear from Elon Musk and all these different people, but what about the Church of Jesus Christ? We've got the revelation. We know the Maker. We should be those that are speaking on behalf of society. It's time for us to be that light and rise up in this season. So we got to be covert. How do we glorify God, become the best in our field? You know, it's interesting to understand that the whole thing about, I'm sorry, I've just lost my notes. The whole thing about Glorify is actually the synonym of to elevate, to lift up, or to excel. So if we're going to bring glory to His name, then we've got to excel. We've got to lift His name up. We've got to become the best in our field. So I want to stir you right now. If you've been thinking about doing that master's, you've been thinking about doing that doctorate, you've been thinking about getting into that field, now's the time like never before to get motivated and stirred. I didn't feel like writing a book in lockdown, but I did because I wanted to liberate the church in a certain area. And it's time for us to apply ourselves, not just with what we say, but what we do, because sometimes what we do is more powerful than our words. Overt and covert running together. How do we glorify God? Let's be excellent in all that we do. Let's lift our influence like never before. The Queen of Sheba came because she heard of their excellence. And she left and she said, praise be to the Lord your God for what I have seen today. Oh, we need some people that arise and they don't have to say much. They just have to live a life and people say, there's something about that person that's different. What is it? And they step into all He has. But the last thing that I want to point out and emphasize today is that if we're going to be the people that own it, then we're going to have to recognize that owning it doesn't mean it's about you and your accolade. It's about us owning His cause. So when we sit alongside each other today, we all have a common cause. We all have an individual assignment, but each one of us has a common cause. And we've got to rise with that common cause, because if we're going to win cities, we can't do it alone. We can't just stand alone. And so next week, we're going to take an offering, and some people only be able to give a little, some will be able to give a lot. But if everybody does something, it'll be a quantum that'll enable us to put the vision into practice. You know, next week, don't have the mindset, oh, it's an offering next week, I'm not going to go to church. Truth is, attendances usually go down when we do these offerings. Let's not make that our cause next week. Let's pack this place with people who say, I own it. I'm stepping into what God has for us. I'm going to move into what God has planned. A cathedral on a hill cannot be hidden. This isn't just a word picture. This is reality coming to Manchester. Jesus came to church, but he was also comfortable outside of church. So we need a church. We need a place that people drive by and go, what's that? Wow, that's audacious. Who are they? What are they doing? We need that. But we also need people in the marketplace that'll rise up and do what they're purposed to do. This is a vision about the whole picture. This is just a part of the plan that we're coming into. I was preparing this morning and I felt like the Lord said to me that what we're about to do as a church is a prophetic picture. Synonymous with buildings that stand out, God is about to raise up an army of believers to lift their lights and gain influence like never before. We're going to have people in this room that are going to rise up and get significant influence. I can see promotions are coming. I can see that there's people who have been diligent in the background. Your moment's about to arise. Because you see, you need to understand when you're in a church and you're in a place where there's a prophetic word going out, a declaration over a city, it's not just for buildings, it's for you, the individual. You need to understand that you're a part of it. A city on a hill, you know, is taken from this sermon of Jesus on the mountain. It captivated me and I started to think about, you know, things like we've said in church all our lives, ask of me and I'll give the nations. And then I started to think of you. Miriam was up here before. Cardiff, Wales is going to be one for the purposes of Jesus. I'm flying to Geneva tomorrow. The unique thing, you've already heard about it. Planet Shakers and Audacious coming together. But the legacy of what we've built is going to be built further by Audacious. We're going into mainland Europe for the first time as a church. It's time for us to take back what the enemy has tried to steal. Tonight we're in Sheffield, another city right here in the north. God is using you to rise up to do something significant. We're going to build a cathedral in Manchester and step into all that God has for us. I want you to do something. If you've got a phone, I'm going to get you to take it out. Don't look at your emails or your texts, okay? We tell you not to do that all the time, but I want you to take it out because some of you are technologically challenged. And I'm going to get you in a moment to put your torch, your light on your phone. Don't put it on yet. Just hold your horses, but just get it positioned so you know how to do it when we come to it. Because some people will be like going like this the whole time while I'm trying to give the next part. So just work it out. But in 1962, there's a man by the name of John Glenn. He went up in a spaceship called Friendship 7. He circumnavigated the globe, first person to do so. As he was going around, they did an experiment in my home city, Perth, West Australia. Perth is the most isolated city on earth, 1,800 miles to the next city. So what they decided to do was turn all the lights on the city in the middle of the night, about 11:30 at night. So they rallied all the citizens. I don't remember it, I wasn't born. But they got the commercial lights in the buildings, they got all the street lights on, which would normally be off at that time, and they got people at home to turn their lights on. And right on 11 o'clock, it was built up, and they turned it on. And as they did, John Glenn, live to Florida, you know, in NASA, says, "Wow, it's astounding what I see. I can see Perth as they turn the lights on." 1998. John Glenn went up in a spacecraft again. 36 years later, they decided to do the experiment again. I was now old enough, 28 years of age, to participate. Oh, and my torch isn't going to work. And I was old enough to participate. So 11:30 at night, I was sitting in my spa pool at home. Thought, well, you know, I may as well do it in style. I got a little torch at home. Turned on the house lights, sat out in the spa. I got my little torch out. 11:30, turned it on. Because it had happened in 1962, there was a revelation that we do this, he's going to see it. But if I allowed myself to be stuck in the way I thought, what difference is a little torch going to make? But when my torch went on, and my neighbor's torch went on, and somebody on the east put theirs on, and the commercial building put theirs on, and the school put theirs on, and the street lights came on. We all contributed at a different level, But John Glenn yelled, "Wow! It's more stark than I could ever imagine. Last time was good, but this is standing out. Well done, Perth." To this day, Perth is called the City of Lights because of that moment. But it didn't happen because one commercial building was turned on. Didn't happen because a few people got their torch out. It happened because everybody said, if we do this together and shine a light, we can actually make a difference that people will see from a long way around. So what I want you to do is stand to your feet. I want you to take your phone out, but listen to me. I'm only saying that because people never listen to you when you do these things. But there's my light. I want you to put it against your chest, your light, so you can't see it. Okay, put it against your chest. And we're going to turn the lights down right across the auditorium. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to get you, when I tell you to, just to get your light and go like this. But as you go like that, I want you to turn around. And I want this to be a reminder that next week when we take an offering, this week when you're out working at that desk, you're in that schoolroom, you're in that boardroom, that you may feel like, what a pathetic little light I've got. But if we all lift them up and turn them around, a dark room with the smallest of lights working together can bring a change where right now, if you look around, you can't see anybody. Looks like a horror movie, a few people got up and around their chin. But I don't just want this to be a funny moment, I want it to be a moment of revelation, illumination. So on the count of three, I want you to put it up and literally turn around like this and look at the people that a moment ago you couldn't see. Recognize your little light, like my little torch, your 1,000 pounds, your 10,000 pounds. Seems like it's inconsequential in the context of millions and millions of dollars of facility. But all of us playing our part, all of us shining our light, all of us owning it, all of us reckoning you are the light, collectively doing it together with a common cause, we can win a city. 1, 2, 3. Woo! You're not alone. We're together. Common cause. You are the light. You are His purpose. What we can sometimes feel like we're isolated, feel like, how are we ever going to get through? Together, we can build a cathedral. Together, we can take Sheffield. Together, we can win Cardiff. Together, we can change the face of mainland Europe. Together, Manchester will be one for the purposes of God. You are the light. Come on, lift your hands right now. Lift your hands around this room. You can turn your light off if you want now. Once you've done that, I want you to lift your hands. Own it. You are the light. Own it. You are the light. Own it. This is your time. Own it. It's a prophetic picture, not just a building, but this is your time to elevate, Lord, your light like never before. Own it. We need to have leaders and captains of industries. Own it. We need students to excel. Own it. We need to see finance come in and fill the house of God. Own it. You are the light. It doesn't say Jesus is the light. It says you are His representative. You are the light. So God, right now I pray in this room that there would be people that would get a revelation of who you are and therefore who you He has chosen to use. I pray in this room that there would be overt. There would be the gospel that is preached. There would be covert, the gospel that is preached not by words but by deeds. Lord, that we would consider as we expand, as we help the vulnerable. God, as we step into all you have for us, as we build a new home, that it would be a picture, not just a building, but a statement. Cities can be won. This is our time. We'd step into it in Jesus' name. Here's what we're going to do, and I'm going to hand back to somebody. Just close your eyes. It's just as I was having a coffee at breakfast this morning, I got this revelation that I spoke to you of. This isn't just a building offering, so you're not just sowing for a cathedral in Manchester. You're actually sowing because some of you have been rulers in waiting, kings and queens in waiting. You're going to step out of waiting and step into ruling. Dominion authority is given over realms. We're going to see classrooms change. We're going to see professions change. We're going to see people rise up with their light shining. So as we build a cathedral synonymously, a group of people are going to rise up as the army of the Lord and step into all that God has for them. This is your moment. Understand, it's time to shine. Lord, right now I reach my hand out to each and every person. I pray that they would get a revelation, first and foremost, of who you are. But they would recognize that their primary purpose is to bring glory to your name. They would excel in every area of life. And I pray this would be the moment that people would step in to their season of rulership. Oh, we've been on the sidelines for the last 2 years, but that's over. We're not going to keep talking about that. We understand that whenever you've gone through a test, whenever you've gone through a tough time, you always come out and you step into revival and renewal and restoration. God, we're in that season. I claim what is ours, the city of Manchester. I claim what is ours, the nation of England. I claim Wales. I claim, Lord God, Sheffield. I claim Geneva. I claim mainland Europe. This is our time. And I pray that this body of people would get the revelation that they're all you need. They'll take their torch.
Thank you for listening to this audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.